All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
On the microphone here, it is the city council president for the City of Erie, Pennsylvania, Chuck Nelson. How are you, President Nelson?
Hey, Joel. Doing well.
I'm glad. It is a special time of year. City comes together, does the lights and all the gathering and things. It's kind of cool, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was. Did you guys put up your tent on Friday? And
no, we operated out of here, and so we got.
That's a warm idea.
It was a warm idea. And it didn't blow away or anything, too,
because
that's what happened
last year. Yeah.
So we were excited to kind of navigate it that way.
A lot of the traffic came down this way this year.
Yeah,
they were all walking.
We were kind of busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then literally we got off the air. I, you know, locked the door, went up, and I was in plenty of time for the countdowns. Because I think they like to do the tree in the middle of the TV, 6 o'clock news. And so it was really more like 10 after or something like that.
Yeah.
I had plenty of time.
You know? Good.
Yeah. What's like a Christmas tradition at the Nelson household?
Well, my day job's a pastor, so we have a Christmas Eve service, and Christmas Eve's really our big time. So we have a 4 o'clock service. We candle lights and all that's with silent
night. Oh,
4 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And then, so I get to church a little bit early and my family gets there right at 4 because my wife puts the lasagna in the oven and then, it stays in there just long enough with a just about an hour long service that my family could rush out of there and I can greet people and finish and do my stuff. And they, just as I'm getting home, I could drop my sports coat and sit at the table with a hot piece of lasagna in front of me.
I tell you what, lasagna for Christmas. Now that's the bomb.
Yeah, yeah. It's an efficient system.
That's awesome. All right. So while you're wearing your president's hat, you're working a lot on the budget this time of year. The mayor presented the budget November 1st, and so it is like this 8-week rush to try to get a budget passed. One of the things that we've talked about is how a city that is basically has the equivalent population as it did in 1920 has the largest budget in its history. There's been no reduction of budget that's aligned with the population. And of course, with my, you know, considering inflation, in my logic, you would have your biggest budget in 1960, and then you would be in decline for the last 60 years. So first off, why do you think in real dollars, really, that the budget is so high?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that people become accustomed to. And even with like the comprehensive plan, you know, the idea was there's right sizing that needs to occur. And you can look like there's plenty of jobs that have been eliminated. The ordinance to determine the number of people on the police force was from 50 years ago. It's from 1972. And it has a police force that's still 30 more than what we currently have on it. And that's with our current surge with the extra 18 ARP funded cops. So there has been some right sizing in certain departments. I was talking to a person today that was talking about the AFSCME union positions that they had 200 and now we're down to about 70.
Oh, wow.
Part of that was the Water Authority being spun off, and part of that's a lot of non-bargaining jobs. But there has been a significant amount of right sizing over the years. And, you know, 20 years ago, we saw two of the firehouses close. It's just, when we look at the amount that numbers go up, the inflation aspects of it, you know, it continues to grow. I'm a big fan of the Heritage Room at the library. Mm-hmm. So I swing by there and I look at budgets from the, you know, dating all the way back. They have them, they have 100 years worth of budgets there. Wow. And my big thing is not so much seeing, you know, how much it's grown, but seeing percentage wise how much it's grown. And I talked this about the budget meetings. We had police and the personnel office at our last budget meeting. And I said, you know, hey, I looked at the last year of Senate. And now I'm looking at this year to see just what changed in this administration.
Yeah.
So, you know, public works went up 17%. Well, that's less than inflation. I mean, that's a reduction. You know, fire went up 20-something%. Police went up 50%. And that's why I get in a little bit of a fight with police. But that was mostly ARP funded.
Yeah, right.
The personnel office doubled. The administration, the mayor's office with, you know, their emphasis on communications tripled. So there's particular offices that grew at different rates. And that's a spot where we have to see where the priorities are and make sure those priorities align with the fiscal sense of council.
So you're saying that the administration costs 300% more than the Senate administration 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
It's 300% of what it was, so 200%
more. 200%
more. It tripled.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, elephant memory around here. I could remember when the Three Amigos would have never allowed that to get through.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, a lot of that's an emphasis.
They were in battle with the fifth floor, right?
A lot of that's the emphasis on communications that they've put into place. You know, Senate ran a smaller administration. And,
sure.
and the services are reflected. I mean, we've got some great things happening for New Americans, mm-hmm. some great initiatives.
But a lot of those roles are not filled right now. I mean, Chris Millett came on, left. They have the new guy, Robert Lee. I haven't met him yet. Have you met him?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's great.
But, you know, we still haven't replaced Nikan Carpenter. We haven't replaced Michael Outlaw. I mean, those are two very, very important constituencies that we were trying to do positive and forward-thinking outreach to. And
right.
We're still waiting for those roles to be filled.
So when we talk about the staff size and tripling a budget for that, you know, you talk about those as being important roles, and now I have to measure, do I think they're important enough to justify the cost? And
that's
what council has to wrestle with all the time. I mean, those roles, I mean, with the benefits that go with them, I mean, everything adds up pretty quick.
I would imagine so. Yeah, you're probably talking six figures for each role, right?
A $45,000 salary comes out to be about $92,000 after the benefits.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, yeah, and $45,000, that's $22.50 an hour, which
right.
is not a ton.
No.
Yeah, not in this era. So these are, I mean, it's that kind of level of even thinking of maybe people that at one point were part of the cabinet. Those roles may be on the chopping block as you try to balance this budget.
Well, what's going to happen is on the 19th, everyone on council can bring anything that they want to cut. And this is just in accordance with our charter. It's an optional charter with strong mayor governance. The mayor presents a budget in November, and then council with four votes anything down, with five votes anything up. And then approves it by ordinance, and then the mayor's responsibility in a third-class city with an optional strong mayor charter is to execute the charter and ordinances, the budget being an ordinance. So it's really in the hands of council. We, you know, he presents and proposes a budget, but the budget's owned by council.
So the ordinances take two readings?
Yes.
So you have to pass a tentative budget on what date? On that 20th?
We have to do it by the 31st. On the 20th is when we'll have that council meeting.
That first meeting. And then you'll meet again on the 27th?
No. So we are
okay.
We meet every other week. So we've already, you know, the first reading already went by. And then
already had a reading?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
To move things along quickly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We did a reading on the sewer and refuse, but we'll probably amend everything between now and the 20th.
So you could table things or what have you, and then the 20th is the deadline that you've given yourselves to say,
yeah,
we've got to, you know, push or shut up.
Yeah, so we'll meet on the 19th with our pencils and papers and say, hey, here's what we want to cut. And, you know, in some cases, certain departments come to us and they say, here's what we're looking to do. We want to increase this budget item by 35%. We've never spent, we've never gone over budget. We don't need it, but we just want it. And it's like, okay, well, let's rein this in, and then we tell them how much we're willing to go up, and then they say, "Ooh, that's more than I thought," and then we're like, "Oh, we're the suckers."
This all kind of reminds me of you ever see the movie? What is it, Bill or you know the guy that basically plays the president, and he comes up with all these. You were probably too young for it. Yeah,
you did this to me last year. Bring up some movie from the eighties.
Kevin Kline is the actor. Anyway, do you remember this one, Shane? Anyway, basically they come up with common sense ways to fund, services for orphans and things. You know, by taking money out of this and that.
Kevin Kline was that the one? His son was in American Pie.
No, that's different. Keep going. Oh my gosh. Now, so what's the number that you're dealing with right now? Did the mayor present a balanced budget to begin with?
Yeah, so I mean, legally we have to have a balanced budget. So anyone raving about us having a balanced budget, yeah, that's by law. 7 million of that is transfers from from one-time revenue sources. About $4 million coming from ARP funds to cover staff positions, and then about $3 million coming from the last of the money from that water prepayment deal.
Are we done with the water deal after this? If you were to use all $3 million,
depends on how this budget session goes.
We're
at the end of that money for the most part. There might be a little bit of money to pull into next year, but not enough to balance the budget.
Okay, so, and my understanding is that the mayor has been presenting like 5-year forward looks, right? What do they look like? And I know you kind of live in that world too, right? Of wanting to see how it's all going to shake out.
Yeah. So there's a big bet on the city growing and Lerda being wildly successful. And when you're only collecting 1.37% on the amount of development we have and its assessed value, then that Lerda number starts looking pretty small. But the real big thing is that with the water prepayment, you know, we had a big fund of money to hold us through a certain amount of time. And in that time, we also didn't pay down our debt service to the same degree. So we only have a couple $100,000 coming out of debt service, where in a couple years, it jumps up to about $3 million.
Wow.
And then in the midst of that, we also have ARP funding. So right at the time that we run out of water money, we start having to pay the full debt service money, and then we run out of ARP money. Conveniently, I have re-election by then, so you know we all keep our jobs.
Yeah.
And I say that entirely tongue in cheek to the listeners.
That's a pretty massive financial cliff, don't you think?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I'm scared to death of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is that when you look at that, then what are we, 3 years away from Act 47? I mean, like, this is the kind of stuff where employees, retirees and stuff, like, they start looking at Act 47, and I think there's some concerns. So it's really a matter that council takes this seriously, winding in the budget. We've been told that the mayor doesn't want any tax increases, but the fees will go up. And then once re-elections happen, then we're looking at $4, $8, $12 million deficits pretty quickly.
$4, $8, $12 million deficits.
Yeah.
I'm glad you came, because this is a catastrophe. that even the presented numbers from the mayor's budget are forecasting an incredibly difficult time in our short term, in our 60-month forward view.
Yeah.
That's unreal. So let's talk about this again. Tell me how you interpret the forecast of revenues versus expenses for the city of Erie.
Yeah, on the break, I made sure to actually pull up the budget.
Yes.
So I went to the 5-year projections. And you look at the 2024 budget, and you see our cost went up, you know, $2-3 million in staff, which is a little more than the inflation. You know, everybody got about 2.5% raise. You know, the following year it goes up another $1.5 million. And then after that, it actually like stays stable and declines the next 2 years, because it's built into our budget that we're cutting about 24 staff at the end of ARP. So even when we're facing a $10 million deficit in 2027, that's after we had already cut 24 staff positions.
And what would those be? I mean, are we literally talking public safety at this point?
Yeah, the 18 police officers, ARP funds, that remind me, I took a lot of heat when I argued against that, but yeah, it's written into our budget that we're cutting those positions in the next 2 years anyways.
And is the I've heard the mayor say that the goal is that we can grow enough to and maybe through attrition, you wouldn't necessarily have to fire cops.
Yeah, if you have a family member that's a cop, they're not getting fired. There's no, our attrition numbers will be fine. We lose 7 to 10 every year. We're fine on that. We'll be able to do attrition just fine. I have no concerns. However, the numbers will return back, and then we'll have, you know, what we have to show for that $14 million is that the police force is doing an awesome job right now. They're clearing cases. I mean, you know,
but these are there are special projects that are online. I've had the chief say, hey, we're finally able to have a detective for juvenile cases.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, stuff that we always had, we used to have, and then we lost.
Yep.
During the lean years, but the lean years are coming again.
The lean years are coming again, and they seem to be hopeful that they can maintain these levels of services with the historic number of police.
Okay.
So, but what we're looking at is really, once again, once we get through re-elections, and I'm on the same term as the mayor, so him putting together these numbers works out just fine for me, right?
Okay, yeah.
But what happens is we run out of the water lease. We have about $1 million left for next year on these projections. Then we run out. And then we deferred a bunch of debt servicing. So this year we're only paying $200,000 on debt. And then the following year we pay $200,000. Then the year after that it goes up to $1.4, $2.1, $2.2. So the debt service jumps up right after re-elections as well.
Wow.
So all of this happens at the same time. ARP money runs out, the water prepayment runs out, and debt becomes due. And even with cutting 24 positions, we're looking at a $10 million deficit by 27. So the goal is right now, as we go through the budget, is to put ourselves in a position where the lean years of 27, you know, and 26 being at about $8 million, that when everything hits at the beginning of next term on our election cycle, that we're in a position where it's not just going to be, you know, a ridiculously aggressive 4 years of a lame duck term.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what would be a best case scenario of how that would, you know, I mean, are we hoping that we would see significant jumps that aren't even being forecast on the revenue side?
Yeah, so there's a number of things.
Are we going to be raising taxes like a banshee?
Yeah, the revenue stuff is really limited by state law. We can't even address a lot of the revenue streams that many other states would allow us to. You know, income tax, for example. We can't increase an income tax and just watch wages go up and see our revenue go up. It's just through property. So, you know, we keep increasing property taxes. The assessments don't really happen too often, but, you know, like we saw a big jump when there were so many real estate transactions last year and a bunch of places got reassessed.
Yeah.
So that kind of like offset our property taxes a little bit for a season. Mm-hmm. But really the dream is that, and this is what the mayor has stated is kind of the plan, is that we grow by 10,000. I think that's a dream. I don't think that's likely. Even just with the amount of kids people have nowadays, I don't think any city should be really banking on much growth.
Right.
But that is currently the dream. And now it's a matter of making sure that we can become financially solvent enough to be healthy when that growth appears.
So if we were to grow 10,000, the idea is that we'd have more owner occupied, single family housing that would be paying taxes. I'm not seeing where any kind of development is happening toward that end. And
yeah, more workers paying income tax.
I mean,
there's a few different revenue streams that happen with that.
Yeah.
You know, we collect about $27 million in income tax. So, I mean, there's some money to be had with that. You know, and I've been trying to address this on the revenue side as best I can. You know, we added vacancy registration. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but I'm talking like tens of thousands. We're not talking
right.
like, so we did a bunch of stuff in planning and with licensing to bring in maybe a few hundred thousand. But at the end of the day, like our revenue streams are pretty locked.
Wow. What happens if we were to go Act 47?
Then I wouldn't be controlling the budget anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the state takes over. And what happens is they get rid of some of the caps. So there would no longer be an income tax cap on commuters as much. Mm-hmm. So you working downtown and living in the suburbs, we'll start hitting you for 3% the way that Altoona had been doing.
Wow.
And I don't have a problem with that, but I imagine it'll annoy you a bit.
Yeah. Well, I live in the city, so.
Oh, you do live in the city.
Yeah,
sorry.
It wouldn't affect me, but Cheney. You know, in the Empire of Wesleyville. I've always felt like, there probably could be some things. I remember when Filippi was, in office, he talked about everything under the sun, including, you know, a dorm tax, $50 for every, person living in a dorm. That would hit, obviously, Gannon and Mercyhurst students the worst, and they would fight that tooth and nail, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that they were talking about, you know, people that use the city, to see if there's any dollars there. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't tax the tax-exempt organizations, but you could fee them. But every time we bring up a fee, you know people are going to be...
They'll be flipping out.
Yeah,
yeah. We've got to go to our bottom of the hour break. Chuck Nelson. And again, I'm not advocating any dorm tax. I'm just saying, it was a historical reference here. We did get a text, Chuck. Perhaps we should make City Hall more approachable like it was before. Since COVID, everything is basically off limits. Another reason while development is being stifled. I don't know about that last conclusion, but I do know that you just can't roam around City Hall anymore.
Yeah, no, that happened. That decision was made before I got there. Mm-hmm. There was some aspects to it to make sure that we were a certain level to hold court hearings.
Okay.
So that was part of it. But, you know, as far as accessibility goes, they give me a cell phone number, and they give all of us council members our cell phones. You know, I mean,
okay.
I think council is very accessible. But no, I get it. When you walk into the building, if I forgot my little pass, my little key card, it's always a little embarrassing, having to ask the lady at the desk to let me into the building.
You have to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
Hey, let's grab a phone call. Hey, you're live with, City Council President Chuck Nelson.
Good afternoon, Joel Shaney, President Nelson. Hey, Joe, I'll keep it light. But I'd appreciate it if you just handcuff yourself here for a couple seconds.
Okay.
All right. So, President Nelson, I'll tell you, I appreciate your honesty. We hear a lot of people that come on the show that say, you know, how great Erie's going to be down the road in a decade or so, you know, how everything's just going to be fine and dandy. And pretty much what you're saying is, by the numbers, that things are looking pretty bleak in the city of Erie. But like I said, I appreciate your honesty because, you know, we have a lot of people to say something completely different. And, you know, a lot of us can see through that talk. But what I want to talk about, Mr. Nelson, is chickens and goats. So,
I love it.
You guys, did you pass a first ordinance on the chickens and goats?
We got that Wednesday.
Oh, seriously?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So, here's what I'm thinking, Mr. Nelson, and I'm being serious about this. I'm not trying to be a funny guy or a comedian. I think it'd be a good idea to have the goats, you know? And I'll tell you why. All the city property that's not taken care of, you know, the high grass and that, you know, you could put them goats over there and they can take care of the grass and maybe rent it out to other people. Say, you know, I can't cut my grass. You could rent it to me, you know, to do my yard. You know, but the chicken things, I mean, we already have chickens all over the city, you know, so I don't know. Maybe we can work out a deal for some free eggs to people or something. You know, instead of being woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yikes! Yeah, thank you,
but
Bill.
Yeah,
I'm going to let him respond. Right, I appreciate it. Take care. Bye.
Hey,
so, well, I thought you had figured that out with no roosters.
Yeah, no roosters. No roosters. You know, maybe in a few months after getting some eggs hatched, you might get a little surprise. But
no
roosters. And they. So, as would you say, that was Bill?
That was Bill, yeah.
So, as he points out, I mean, we've got chickens in town, and they're currently banned. of the 100 largest cities in the nation, 97 allow them to have chickens. We're, you know, we're not, we're outside of the top 100, but,
right.
You know, it's a pretty easy thing. But this would be highly regulated, no more than six, a certain amount of space in the pens and a certain amount in the coop. So I mean, it's not, you know, it's just something for people to get a few eggs and get ahead on that. What he's talking about with the goats though, that's my, kind of my point. I was told by other members of council that the goats thing wasn't happening there. I think it's getting amended on Wednesday and then I'm going to get shot down on the goats, but that's, you know, we have a lot of vacant space and it falls into, you know,
what do you do with the goat, refuse?
Well, we have a really, a lot of space that required to have them.
Okay.
So they,
yeah,
like you have to have a minimum of two because they get lonely.
Yeah.
And then to have two, you need 1,000 square feet, I think, is what the ordinance said. Like, I don't have enough to get goats at my house.
At your house. Okay.
But if you put together a few vacant lots, then it would get to a point where you'd get to a pretty reasonable space.
Boy, yeah. If it kept the vacant lots from being overgrown and unsightly, that's actually kind of an interesting deal.
But pretty much everyone on council has laughed at me and said, "Oh heck no, Chuck." So, like, I thought I might have like some support.
And goat milk is very much of a delicacy, right?
They make soap out of it, and it's like all sorts of stuff.
That's so interesting.
My sister has pygmy goats, these little baby ones, and she rents them out to a yoga studio, and they walk on people.
That's okay. That's wild.
Yeah. But
can I ask a little bit about some politics when it comes to council here? It kind of broke out during the municipal election in November that not all of city council sees eye to eye with each other. I'm sure you all are civil and are able to work together and things, but there's definitely some different worldviews that are going on council, to the point that I, as a Republican, got a mailer from Ed Brzezinski's campaign, or I guess it was
from
Roger Richards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying we've got to stop this radical, quote unquote, radical agenda from the Erie Democrats. And so what's your take on all that? You're kind of in the chief dais there.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at the ordinances that we've pushed this year. I mean, we've had an aggressive legislative agenda this year. We've done more ordinances than any year I can recall. And Ed and Susanna, I have a hard time thinking any time they didn't vote together. Every once in a while, there's been some times where Susanna will make a statement vote on something, or Ed will make a statement vote on something. And I say statement vote, like when you know it's going to be 6-1, and you vote against something just to make sure that you're the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not worried about whipping votes or trying to influence. You're just making your statement that you're not comfortable with it.
Right.
And each of them have a couple statement votes here and there. You know, Ed makes it pretty clear that he's very opposed to, you know, the fee increases. You know, like, okay, well, show us the numbers, show us a balanced budget, and I'll support you. But he'll just vote against it, just say, hey, I don't like it, you know? And Susanna will vote against something when we're applying for a grant for, you know, a new SWAT vehicle. We get a lot of money coming in, and she questioned the need for the militarization aspect of it. So she makes a statement vote on if she really wanted that to get voted down. And I don't mean to speak on her behalf on this. I'm speaking as to how I would do it. I would be calling people ahead of the vote, trying to make sure they were on board with me. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, so I mean, each, there's some statement votes out there. Other than those kinds of situations, they voted together on everything.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know how far apart you are that, and they've
even worked together. On some of the bigger issues, like, what was it? The sanctuary city vote.
Ed voted in favor of it.
Everybody voted in favor except for, was it Mike Keese?
Yeah.
You know, the other one was the equity with the housing thing. Wasn't that almost 7-0 or 6-9 or 6-1?
Yeah, no, I think it was unanimous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was unanimous too. We've been
so
very
that's quite
consistent.
Interesting. So really, this narrative out there that we've got the Tullio Democrats and we've got the young Democrats, you know, the progressives, is not necessarily the case.
No. And I mean, Ed's a particular case because he really wants progress. you know, like when you talk about progressives, that's the root word there, that we want progress.
Yeah.
And he wants progress, and it's just a matter of how he frames that. So, you know, when we have, you know, the tenants' rights stuff that came forward, that's a pretty progressive agenda. Well, we made sure we got it in a position where Ed, who has a career of being a landlord, was very comfortable with it.
Okay.
You know, and those are the conversations that have happened. So maybe in the context of letters being written to Republicans in the course of a general election, maybe there's a little more animosity shared, but, and I'll admit I'm in the middle of some stuff.
Right.
But I feel really confident with how all councils come together.
I consider you generally center left. I'm not sure I see you as this extreme either way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that might be too generous.
I like numbers too much to be like a hardcore progressive.
Yeah.
But then I see the numbers that a progressive economy has produced and I can be really excited about that.
I got to ask you again with your, being enamored with numbers, I have this argument, and I think I brought it up with you before. I have this argument about fees, and that is, and I said it to the mayor last month. I'm like, Mr. Mayor, a sewer fee increase from this whole number to this whole number, or especially a refuse fee. I mean, that's generally not percentages. Refuse is refuse. Mm-hmm. So the person on 4th and Cherokee pays the same amount of increase than the person on 4th and Wallace. And it drives me insane. It's like the least progressive, the most regressive thing I could think of when it comes to fee increases.
Yeah, yeah. The garbage, the refuse fee is always my least favorite.
And it's been going up every year, Chuck.
Yeah. And a large part of that is because of the privatization of our landfills. You know, we used to have a landfill and we were able to control costs, but with the privatization of it, and not just privatization, but the monopolized privatization, we only had one bid for our tipping. We had to reissue the bidding process to get a competitive bid, which still wasn't very competitive. And then, so when we get raked over the coals on this, we've got nowhere to turn.
Tipping fees. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we used to own our own incinerator, too. They used to burn the garbage.
Yeah, we still burn the other stuff. That's a sewer bill.
A sewer bill. I mean, why not add a little bit of a tax increase? Or is this just all kind of virtue signaling? I love the mayor. I'm frustrated at these dilemmas that we're dealing with the budget.
Yeah, so I don't mind him proposing an increase on sewer and refuse at 2% every year to like match. Those are enterprise funds. Your revenues and expenses have to stay the same, and it's not like we're adding any expenses.
Okay.
However, the tax thing, I mean, I think in a large part that's political to get us through the next reelection, just to be frank about it.
Yeah. And he can say, I've never raised taxes.
Yeah, I didn't raise taxes at all this term. We had an $8.76 million deficit these different years, and they were offset with, you know, I mean, $166 million. All right, that's the number. $166 million. That's the water lease and the ARP funds that we got. We've never had a backwind that hard in this city to help progress. And you know,
it's almost gone.
It's almost gone. It's almost gone. But what we'll have to see for. I mean, there's some. You know, we pulled.
I thought though we had money in the bank to pay the loans. Like we were supposed to pay off loans and then they didn't let us do that. So we were holding money in the bank to pay the loans.
So there was the first plan was we were going to pay off loans and then there's prepayment penalties to pay off bonds.
Right.
So it couldn't be done. Then the next plan was to invest that money in the market and then it would sort of be an amortization of the loans because you would make more money in the market, except for Act 10 and state code says that we can't invest in these things. They have to be FIC insured. So then all that was left was to put it in the bank, at which point the interest rates were terrible. So at least we're getting 5% on this money now.
Now,
which is a huge item in our budget. I think we've got a couple million in investment income that we've never had before.
Well, that's interesting.
So that's one of the benefits. I made sure to get with the finance office back late spring, early summer, and make sure that we were getting our full due on these.
Mm-hmm.
It's some money will be paid down when we get to this point of a fiscal cliff.
Okay.
But you know, that's the thing, is we, at that point, do we issue bonds? Do we raise taxes? Do we kick it down the road? Do we bite the bullet?
Yeah.
You know, right now we're doing neither.
I got about 5 minutes left with Council President Chuck Nelson. Talk about the legislation that you have kind of on high gear here before the end of the year.
Some of it's just cleaning up language. You know, I was going through, we made a bunch of appointments. So I had to make sure that, like, we still had that civil center authority members had to be city residents. That doesn't exist, a civic center authority.
You know, yeah.
So that we moved that over to a general, you know, a regional authority. We never updated the ordinance. CRIS, you know, that wasn't.
What's going on with CRIS right now?
Yeah, so, I mean,
something was supposed to happen in November.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think we got overpromised and underdelivered on that with our state senator, frankly.
What about Josh Shapiro? Have we heard anything from Governor Shapiro?
He had expressed that he was very interested in seeing CRIS happen. I think Harrisburg was ready to give Erie a CRIS.
Yeah.
And then Laughlin convinced the mayor's chief of staff that the only way it's happening is if it was his CRIS. And so they gave it to him. And I think Harrisburg balked at the idea of giving Laughlin a CRIS when they would have happily given Erie a CRIS.
I'm kind of fuzzy on the distinction.
Well, when the news came out that half the board was going to be Laughlin's, things slowed down.
Oh.
We kind of walked that back. I mean, because legally it has to be appointed by the general governing authority, which is city council. Mm-hmm. So we walked back the language on that. The ordinance doesn't have anything saying that Laughlin's making any appointments. But we gave him a lot of consideration as a council when we made, you know, when we picked the names.
Where does Erie Insurance fit in all this? Because they were saying if it didn't go this particular way, like, and my understanding was the mayor and Laughlin had come to an agreement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's put it this way. We're in December and you haven't heard anything about CRIS lately. So you tell me who's got the details wrong on this, you know. Okay. I'm just the All councilman right. that made the authority.
I get it.
Somebody blew it.
Okay. What other legislation are you working on?
We got the chickens thing going through. We've got a responsible contractors ordinance that is going to get tabled this week, but we're working through it. The state requires that we have responsible contractors for our request for proposals, but responsible is not defined. So we've run into some issues. The convention center, for example, has had some issues. So we're defining what a responsible contractor looks like in the city.
Is there not a definition as part of the statute from the state?
That's correct. Not a legal definition of what a responsible
Love
contractor
that.
Means. Yeah.
Love that.
So we're just trying
Harrisburg
to make some standards
once
there.
Again, you know,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and yeah, it's a lot of it's just cleaning up. I think we have 6 or 7 appointments going on. You know, all the authorities are getting stacked up now. I think some really good new fresh talent coming onto those authorities. Mm-hmm. We've been really deliberate as a council to bring in new people with solid professional experience.
What would you give yourself as president? Again, you're in your last month in the role. You want to give yourself a grade?
Self-evaluation. Yeah, no. I don't think anyone accuses me of being too humble very often, but Shani's not mic'd, but she's laughing hard. You know, I think I got an A. I mean, I really think that by the end of this term, you're going to see that council is as strong as it's ever been, and it's living up to the expectations of the charter. And I hope that someday when I'm not on council, that it will be stronger than it's ever been before because of what we've done together as a team this year.
And again, I'm not privy to conversations and work sessions and things. My complaint against council, as I saw it in the past, let's say, is that they weren't prepared for meetings. Like I'll still never forget the public hearing about the Erie refocused comprehensive plan. No one had read it, and they held a public meeting asking for public testimony, and they were just clueless on what was even in the plan.
Yeah,
you know, it's like. So hopefully we've fixed that thing where council's doing their homework.
You know, we do the committee reports at the end.
Yeah.
And I think some of the guys that have been around for a while, I'm going to take Brzezinski as a specific example here, but he always just says, hey, no report. I got, you know, it gives you an update on the Seawolves game or something like that.
Right.
So a couple weeks ago, I had been in four meetings with him in the course of the previous 2 weeks, and he said no report. And I like stopped and looked at him. I was like, what are you talking about? I've been in, and I listed off the meetings. He goes, well, yeah, I guess I have. I'll talk about those. So we got some really exciting things happening with the Port Authority. Please tell everyone. But,
there you
know, yeah, no, people are doing the work.
Maybe council needs a communications director.
Well, I think that's only on
Well, that's your job.
Yeah. I think we do all right communicating for ourselves.
We'll leave it there. City Council President Chuck Nelson, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Joel.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.